Okay, Romans chapter 6, and let's look in verse 23. And let's just look at this one verse here for a moment. Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this text tells us about two very different things that are obtained. One is death and one is life. One is death and one is life. And it tells us two very different ways these things are obtained. Let's read it again, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. The sinner who perishes in death. Spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. That sinner will have earned. He will have worked for and he will have earned that death as a wage that was owed to him. A wage that was owed to him for his labor. But, look at the second part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The sinner who is saved will have been given eternal life. Given eternal life. As the free gift of God. Not by anything we've done in ourselves, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I've titled this, The Divine Contrast. And this is a divine contrast right here. I want you to notice a little bit about it again. Notice the contrast in the way that these two things are obtained. Death is obtained, it is the wages. The wages. But eternal life is the gift. It's the gift. You see how opposite these two are? Look here at the next thing. Look at the contrast here of where these two are obtained. The wages of sin. It's the wages of sin. But the gift is the gift of God. See that too? Death is the wages of sin. Sin is a master. And that master is going to pay you for serving him. He's going to pay you what he owes you. And that's death. But eternal life is a gift of God. From God. Of God. Look at this next contrast through who these two things are obtained. Sin is the work of the sinner. Sin's the work of the sinner. And so the sinner himself gets all the glory for earning everything he labored to earn under his master sin. Get all the glory for dying and earning death. And nobody else to blame for that. But look at the contrast. It says, but God's gift of eternal life is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ so that Christ gets all the glory. God gets all the glory for this. Now I want to just divide this statement into two halves here. We're going to look at the first part, and then we'll look at the second part. Let's look at this first half. The wages of sin is death. Now sin is being described here as a master. Sin's being described as a master, and the sinner as the servant of sin. Go back up to verse 16. Now, what Paul is dealing with here is men are saying, because we've been justified freely by God's grace in Christ and risen together with Him, and Paul says we're no longer under the law but under grace, men will say, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Does that mean we just sin? And Paul is showing here, no, the believer won't do that. The believer won't do that. Watch. Now, he says, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. That's just a simple rule. Whoever you're yielding yourself to as a servant to obey, that's whose servants you are. That's whose servants you are. Whether of sin unto death. If your master is sin, if master has that master sin has to rule over you and you're yielding unto him, then that's your master. Sin is your master. He says, or of obedience unto righteousness. Look down at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Paul has said, I'm giving you this simple illustration here because these things are hard to understand because of our flesh. We're still in that flesh. And he says, for as, he's speaking to believers here, as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness. You see, this was our master. Sin, uncleanness. We yielded our members, servants, to that master. And to iniquity. That was our master, iniquity. And it produced iniquity. We were servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Sinners without the Spirit of God, without the Spirit of God dwelling in their hearts, this is the fact. Listen very carefully. Everybody listen to me. The sinner sitting here in this room without Christ dwelling in their heart is a servant to sin. Sin is a master over you. He has you in bondage. He's a servant. That sinner's a servant to uncleanness. He's a servant to iniquity. Everything that's unequal, everything that has no equalness to it, that's what he's a servant to. He's a servant to iniquity. Everything that's not equitable. And that master, Mr. Sin, he's a tyrant. I mean a tyrant. He keeps a binding chain upon all those over whom he rules and over whom he reigns. And while he rules and reigns over you, you're a slave to him. You think you're free? You think it's this? And the sad thing is when we're a servant to sin, we enjoy being his servant. We think it's fun being his servant. We think it's freedom being the servant of sin. We think that's great liberty and freedom. Nobody's telling me what to do. Nobody's yoking me. I can do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to, and nobody can say anything to me. And you're a servant, you're a slave. You're a slave under his bondage. We called it the pleasure of sin. The pleasure of sin. Well, the sinner who's under that rule of that master that we call sin, that one that's under his rule is not a servant of God. Now look at verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. We were under that master called sin. And when we were under him, we were the servants of sin. But while we were under that master, sin, we were not the servants of God. Not at all. Not the servants of righteousness. Now you have to remember, Paul from the beginning has been talking about serving according to the law. The whole point Paul's been making throughout this book is we're not justified by works, we're justified by grace. And we're not sanctified by works. We're sanctified by grace. And so when he comes to this point, when he talks about the believer not being under the law, but being under grace, he answers the question that's going to come up. Well, then, shall I just sin and be lewd and be immoral in all I do because I'm not under the law, but under grace? But the point of the matter is, in all of that morality and all of that obedience under the law, thinking you're going to be justified by your works of the law or sanctified by your works of the law, Paul's saying, when you were in that, you were the servants of sin. You were the servants of sin. Paul said, as touching the law, I was blameless. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I was of the strictest sect. I was just like those that you looked at and thought, you won't catch any kind of sin in them outwardly. But he said, while I was doing that, I was the servant of sin. So this thing includes both that outward, immoral, lewd behavior, and it includes that behavior that appears to be absolutely lawful and absolutely serving God in the flesh, because the problem is in here. The problem's in the heart. The problem's inside. Sinners only have one master. And that master's sin. And believers only have one master. And that master's Christ. He said, when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. When we were the servants of sin, we were not the servants of Christ. When you're the servants of Christ, you're no longer the servants of sin. No man can serve two masters, the Lord said. And we don't. Either sin has the rule of our hearts, or Christ has the dominion. It's not both. One or the other. Some here are under the dominion, the tyranny of sin. Sin rules you. Sin rules your thoughts. When you're thinking about something that is good or something that's evil, sin's ruling you. Sin's ruling you. And some here are under the rule of Christ. Some here's under him. He has dominion of your heart. But no one here, absolutely nobody here, is under the rule of both. That's just not so. That's not so. Those under the rule of sin hate the thought of having Christ as their master. They hate the thought because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Hates God. Don't want to have anything to do with him. And that hatred sometimes appears so innocent. Just sits there and smiles and sits there and acts like he's really enjoying it. But not in the heart. Not in the heart. But those that have been born of the Spirit of God, Christ dwells in us as our master, and we no longer love sin anymore. We don't like it. We cry out with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" There's a difference. But those in whom Christ dwells, what do you really enjoy? That's a good question. What do you really enjoy? What do we really enjoy? What is it? Where is it that we would really rather be? Think about that. Who's really your master? Who's really your Lord? If sin is the master over us, our delight is to do evil. Our delight, what we would rather be doing is something, anything, anywhere, but hearing the gospel of Christ. We'd like to be anywhere else, doing anything else, but hearing of him. Because we don't like him. We don't want to have anything to do with the God we're going to face in about a minute. We don't have anything to do with him by nature. If we walk in darkness, enjoy the company of evil companions and just our self-righteous people or false religion and will workers and all that, then Christ's not our master. He's not our master. The wage that this master paid, sin, that wage that he pays is death. He pays that wage. Verse 21, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed?" The believer's ashamed of those things now. We're ashamed of those things now. "For the end of those things is death." We know now we didn't have any fruit. We weren't bringing forth any fruit. And all, whether it was in works of righteousness we thought we had done, we weren't really bringing forth any fruit. Or whether it was that lewd behavior or thoughts or whatever, we weren't bringing any fruit then either. We thought, might have thought we had. Mr. Sin's in the iniquity business. He's not in the business of producing righteousness. He's in the business of growing sinners and growing iniquity and sin and death. That's what he's in the business of doing. And everybody that works for him is working as hard as they can to produce what he's in the business of producing. They're trying to produce iniquity. Sometimes it looks like it's righteous works, but it's still iniquity. That's what his business is. "For the wages of sin is death." That's what he pays. When you've worked that long, hard day called life and it's all done, the wages, you go up to the counter and it's time to get your wages, what you owe. And that master gives you exactly what you've earned. And that you've earned death. Death. The wages of sin is spiritual death. Now, there's no sinner that can earn spiritual life. God has got to give spiritual life. But I want you to hear this now, and this would be good for you to listen to very carefully. When God gives the sinner the light of the gospel, when he brings the gospel across your path, and that's what God has done for everybody sitting here listening to this right now. God has crossed your path with the truth. And when he does that, when that sinner goes on laboring in sin, goes on working and working and working to put God out of his mind, laboring for his master sin, that labor will earn you the wages of more spiritual death. more spiritual death. Look at Romans 1, verse 21. Don't you see what I mean? Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Now that takes some labor. That takes some work. And that earns some wages for whoever does that. And here's what the wages are. And their foolish heart was darkened. Look down at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed forever. Now that's what's going on in religion in this world today. Everybody that's telling you you can come to God by your free will and you can, God's demanding you to do certain works so you can get a better reward in heaven than somebody else. He's not paying you a commission. He's not paying us a commission. It's the gift of eternal life. But that takes labor to do that. To change the truth of God into a lie and to worship the creature more than the Creator. That takes labor and it earns a wage. And here it is, verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Now you want to read all about religion? You read out the rest of Romans chapter 1. You'll think it's a description of this ungodly world. And it is. But it's a description of ungodly religion. Well, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that takes some labor. Man, you got to have a CD of some music ready as soon as you get out of the service and put that in and start listening to it and get that knowledge of God out of that head. Get Him out of there. Or you got to go out and have some sporting event so you can go right to it and get busy with it. And so you can get that knowledge of God drowned out fast. Get it out of there. Yeah, it takes work. You got to work at it to do it. But it earns this wage right here. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You see what I'm saying? That's all the wages of sin earns is just more death and more death and more death. And then wages of sin is physical death. When you labor in sin, it's going to earn the wage for our bodies to be wrecked with sickness and sorrow and pain. And eventually, they'll end in physical death. We're going to all die. Sin's what even the believers still sin in this flesh. And we're going to die physically because that's what we're doing. But going after sin and living in this world to just sin and sin and sin, you get diseases, you get all kinds of sicknesses and addictions and everything else to where it just speeds up the process. That's all what I'm saying is that's the fruit that it produces. It's just more death. And then it ends with eternal death. You labor all your days for that master sin. And in the end, having never obeyed the gospel, having never listened to God, having put Him out of your mind, then in the end, you will have earned eternal separation from God in the torments of hell as a wage which we rightfully earn for all our labors. And you know what's sad? The sin, that master sin is such a tyrant. He will make a young person say, well, that's all right, I'll go for that. I'll go for what I can get right now in this life. I don't worry about that other. I remember some time back, you know who Bob Dylan is. I watched an interview with one of the men for 60 Minutes interviewing Bob Dylan. And this was like not too long ago when Dylan was up, you know, he's up in years. And I believe it was Morley Schaefer. He asked him, he said, do you think now that sort of all the glamour's off of stardom and all that, and you're in your later years and, you know, looking towards eternity, he said, do you think about those things? And I can't remember the exact quote, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, the deal's a deal. And he said, I got what I wanted. And he said, so No need sorrowing over it now. You want to live like that? You want to have that to look forward to one day to know, well, I got my good things. I sold my soul for this stuff. Now facing eternity. There's no good fruit, no good end in continuing with sin as your master. If you earn the wages of death, you won't have anybody to blame but yourself. But now look, now listen carefully. Let's see this divine contrast. But the gift of God, verse 23, But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God gives this gift of eternal life. He gives this. Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. He says, but God be thanked. This is the free gift of God. Who do we thank? We thank God. God be thanked. He's the only one we have to thank. What do you do when somebody gives you a gift? When they give you a gift for your birthday or a special occasion or something, they give you a gift. You don't go around thanking other people. You thank the one who gave you the gift. They're the only one to thank. They bought it. They gave it to you. It's yours. You thank them. Thank you for the gift. God be thanked. Verse 17, you were the servants of sin. There wasn't anybody but God. Nobody but the Spirit of God that could break those shackles. Nobody but the Spirit of God could come in and deliver us from that tyrant, from that master sin. And how did He do it? What was the means by which He did it? Look at verse 17 again. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. God delivered the doctrine of Christ to Him crucified to you. God be thanked. He brought the doctrine of Christ and Him crucified to you. The form of doctrine which was delivered you. It was delivered to you. God said, I've got a gift for that one. Deliver my gospel to him. Go to him right now and tell him all about the gift I've given him. And somebody came along and started telling you about the gift God had purchased with the blood of his own son. By giving his own son. And when he did that, the Spirit of God gave you something else. He gave you a new heart. He entered in and gave you life where there was no life. Gave you a new spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he can't see the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit. He revealed to you your vileness, and he stripped you, and then he robed you in the righteousness of God, in the righteousness of his Son. He showed you this. Look back up there at verse 6. Knowing this, that our whole man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. When Christ laid down his life on Calvary's tree, being made our body of sin for us on that tree, he bore in that body everything sin caused and everything sin required before justice. And he bore it away. And when he gave up the ghost and he died and he went into the grave, that whole body of death that this sinner right here is was destroyed. It went into the grave and was destroyed. For he that is dead, verse 7, is freed from sin. Completely freed from sin. You see, I'm dead. I've already died. Already died in Christ. And I'm freed from that curse and that condemnation. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing this, that Christ being raised from the dead, He doesn't die anymore. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. How dead? As dead as Christ is to it. He died unto sin once. He lives to God now. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How alive? As alive as God, as Christ is to God the Father. That's what Paul tells us over and over and over. You're seated with Him in glory. Your life is in Him in glory at the right hand of the Father. Well, that's what He did for us. And then He gave you the gift of repentance. Gave us the gift of faith. All this is a gift of God. Everything that we have, He gave us freely as a gift. And you obeyed from the heart. Here we go. See, there's a new man. There's a new nature. We obeyed from the heart. From the heart. From the heart. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. That good news of Christ and Him crucified. What Christ has accomplished. You obeyed from the heart. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now, verse 7 that I just read to you, where it says, he that is dead is freed from sin, that word means justified. It means freed from the guilt, from the penalty, and from the condemnation. This word here in verse 18 where it says, being then made free from sin, it's talking about what God's done in us through His Spirit when Christ is formed in you. And it means you've been liberated. You're no longer the slave under that old master called sin anymore. You're freed from the control and the servitude of sin. Its hold over us is broken. His hold over us is broken. A new master, a good master, a loving master. Christ Jesus has taken control in that new spirit that He's created, and you've become the servants of righteousness, the servants of God, the servants of Christ. What a divine contrast, isn't it? Not a wage earned, it's a gift given. Not of sin, but of God. Not death, but eternal life. Not of us, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So He that glories, you know who we glory in? Just as that sinner is going to have nobody else to glory in, nobody else to blame but himself for having earned death. That sinner whom God saves has no one else to glory in and no one else to blame but God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who saved us. You see that? Now you and I aren't wholly free from sin, brethren. You that believe the Lord, we're not wholly free from sin. We carry about a body of sin, a body of death, and in our thoughts and our words and our actions, everything we do, we're constantly thinking, Lord, deliver me from this. I you go through the day and you come to the end of the day, and do you find yourself more and more asking God to forgive you? Just forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. Make me a servant. Make me a true servant. Forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. We're constantly asking God for mercy. You know that? Constantly asking Him for grace. That's how a sinner lives. Constantly asking Him. But by virtue of this redemption as Christ has accomplished, we've been made free from the law, from the legal dominion of it. We're justified from it. There's no condemnation now. And by His working in us, we've been delivered into that glorious liberty of the sons of God. Not given a spirit to where we fear again in bondage, but where we cry, Abba, Father. That's where our help comes from. Before we got scared and we turned to that law and we started trying to shape up, turn over a new leaf and polish up, do something good, tips, because we were in bondage under sin, servants under sin. Now, you know what we do? Father, Father, please help me. Please give me a right spirit. Please create in me a right spirit. Forgive me my sin. We cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit helps us our infirmities. Even though we don't even know how to pray, He helps our infirmities. I feel for the world around me. I feel for the religious world because they do have a zeal. There is no doubt about that. Men in religion have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Going about to establish their own righteousness, they are not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And I've told you this again and again. That word righteousness, brethren, it includes sanctification and righteousness. It includes sanctification and justification. Were He not holy, nothing He did for us would have been holy. But it's all in Him. It's all by Him through the gospel. Look at verse 19 again. Romans 6:19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Who's that righteousness we're yielded to? We're yielded to Christ. He's our righteousness. He's all our righteousness, and He's all our holiness. And we're yielding ourselves to Him by virtue of union and communion with Christ. The gift of God that we now have is eternal life in Christ. And we have righteousness and holiness by Him. And the end of this shall be everlasting life in glory with Him when we pass from this world. You've cheerfully yielded your minds. You've cheerfully yielded your hearts, your tongues, your hands to do evil in the past when sin was at master. Now cheerfully yield them to God and to holiness, to Christ. We didn't produce any fruit under that old master of sin. We earned wages, and yet nothing was given but death. Look at verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. You know what it is not to be under the law but under grace? It's to have the fruit of the Spirit. Look over at Galatians 5:22. I want to just show you this real quick. Galatians 5:22. Verse 18. If you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. You see that? I don't know how more plain it can get. If you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Galatians 5:18. Now here's the works of the flesh. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's who the law was made for. The law was made, and the law is against all of those things right there. Against all of those things. But now listen to this. He said, but if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now listen to this. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's what it is to be under grace. The fruit of the Spirit. He gives us something. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, and long-suffering, and gentleness, and goodness, and faith, and meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's no law against it. The law wasn't made for a righteous man. And God's people have been made righteous. How so? Look at the next verse. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We've been crucified in Christ when He died, and that old man has been put down when Christ entered in by His Spirit. And we've been crucified with Him. But we still live. But how do we live? We live in the Spirit. We live by the Spirit of God. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see that? You see that? Well, it's not even a possibility that God's children are gonna continue in sin. We're dead to sin. And we hate sin now, but by what He's taught us in our heart, we don't want to continue in sin. We don't want to continue in sin. But one thing we don't continue in either is we don't continue in that sin of thinking we're coming to God by our works of righteousness. That sin has been put away too, and we don't come to God in that sin at all. Well, our sin didn't profit us anything, but let me show you this. It didn't profit us anything. It never profited us anything. At all. Ever. No profit whatsoever. Spiritual, physical, eternal death. That's all we got from our sin. But look at this. But now, the gift of God is unto holiness. And that fruit of the Spirit is useful and it's profitable to us and to others in so many ways. You think about this. God's glorified now in our members. He's glorified now. The doctrine of Christ is adorned. He's honored. He's commended before all. We speak of Him. We talk about Him. We want to follow Him. Our spiritual life is bettered by it. We didn't have any before. Now we have it. And it's bettered as we walk after Him. We see Him more and more and more and more. And even our physical life's bettered, if you think about that. Because your reputation, my reputation now is a lot better than it was when I was under the dominion of sin. The fruits of the Spirit have caused peace in your heart. I didn't have any peace in my heart before. You got more peace towards others. Put away malice and wrath and envy and all those things. I didn't have those things before. I'd go and try to work out a righteousness by my obedience to God's law, to the letter of the law. And I was just as envious and hateful towards those others that I thought were doing a better job than me. There wasn't any, and they were hateful and envious toward me. But that's gone now. I see now we're all just a bunch of worms. That's it. Friends and loved ones, they're all bettered when a believer's called by grace and sanctified into this out of darkness into light. Aren't they? Your friends, and they may hate you now, won't have anything to do with you now, but those that are around you, they're bettered for it. They're the beneficiaries of God saving you by His grace. They get a benefit from it. You're not nearly as the old poisonous snake you was. because you got it. That man's not reigning anymore. And the end of it, spiritual life, eternal life with Him forever. Now let me ask you something. What sounds better to you? Work or rest? What sounds better, death or life? What sounds better, a wage you have to earn or a gift given? The Lord said, labor not for the meat which perishes. Don't work for that. But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Go home, get your Bible, get some of these messages on your computer, and ask God to have mercy on your soul. Ask God to reveal true righteousness, true holiness to you. Ask God to make His power known to you. Ask God to make Christ known to you. And come to Him bowed down. Don't come to Him as if God's got to prove to you and I anything. Come to Him bowed down like a child that needs to be taught because we don't know anything. Come to Him that way and seek unmerited mercy from Him. Labor now. You want to work? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that's entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. So let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. You want to labor for something? Labor for that meat that never perishes. Labor to enter into this rest we're talking about. Look at the verse again, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.